14, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you, dear friends in Christ. You know, even before the wacky world of Facebook and Google, these powers that be, that seem to know us better than we actually know ourselves, many of us were taught by our parents not to eavesdrop on private conversations. It's not polite to listen when others are speaking. St. Paul's letter to Timothy here was intended primarily for Timothy. And here Paul, an apostle of Christ by the will of God, addresses Timothy as his beloved child. And he writes one of the most personal correspondences that we actually have in the New Testament. It's full of grace and mercy and peace in Christ Jesus. But this letter, along with 1 Timothy and Titus, it was actually preserved for the public reading in the church till the end of the days. It was preserved in scriptures. So let's listen in, if you will, on a few of the verses from this letter, especially as Paul reminds Timothy of something that he calls the good deposit. Let it lead us to understand that the good deposit of faith is actually worth guarding, even with our lives. So as I read before, as Paul writes to Timothy, by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. And what is that good deposit? It's probably best understood as kind of all of the faithful teaching of the scriptures, all of the doctrines, all of the things that Jesus taught from the Old Testament to the New Testament as well. It's the faith, if you will, that we as Christians have. So how in the world had Timothy received this deposit, these teachings from Holy Scripture? Paul reminds Timothy of his Christian heritage. Grandma Lois, right? And his mother Eunice. Both were instructed by Paul and had been faithful in the church, followed the faith of parent and grandparent. And you can already sense from Paul's kind of fatherly tone as he's writing this letter to Timothy that he's their father in the faith, if you will. No wonder Paul and Timothy couldn't wait to somehow meet once again and spend time together talking to one another. And probably some of you can relate to this idea. I'd venture to guess that most of you are Christians today, not because you made some kind of decision to follow Jesus, because Paul also tells us elsewhere that we are dead in our sins, and dead people can't generate faith in and of themselves, right? We can't make any kind of decisions. They can't decide to come back to life. Instead, most likely, a faithful parent or parents, or maybe a grandparent or grandparents, brought you to a font. Maybe a friend brought you into church as an adult, or even as a teenager, you came and visited church all on your own. Our faith in Christ, though it's compared to a very tiny mustard seed in our gospel reading, it's great because that faith receives Christ and his teaching and unites us as his own special people. So what's Timothy supposed to do with this deposit of faith? This good deposit of faith. Timothy's orders are pretty clear. Paul says, he says, fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Now, most scholars in our faith tradition see this laying on of hands as an early ordination. And when a pastor is ordained, and usually when he's installed as well, the fellow pastors come gather around and lay their hands on the new pastor and pray a prayer over them. It's the ordination or the installation into the preaching office. So no wonder Paul tells Timothy to fan into flame the testimony about our Lord and to share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Because this is his call. This is what he's called to do. Fan into flame. I always think when I see that fan into flame metaphor, I always think about when I was a Boy Scout, and we, our Boy Scout troop, we tried to go camping once a month, at least during the school year. But one of the things I always remember is you always had to bank the fire at night, or have somebody watching around it, and then in the morning, you had to get some little twigs and things if you didn't have matches or a lighter. And, you know, they would never let 12-year-olds have lighters. but there would be coals there, and you'd have to kind of blow the ashes off the coal, you know, get the ashes off there and blow them until there was enough oxygen on those coals to come to light back up again. That's what Paul's talking about, just fan into flame. What Paul's saying, in effect, is preach the word, Timothy, even if you have to suffer for it. Just like I, Paul, am in prison and facing death for preaching the truth. Because the preached word of the cross and resurrection contains the fire of the Holy Spirit. And yes, it's even worth dying for. But why? Why fan into flame this unique gift and be willing to die for it? You see, it's all, of course, for the sake of Christ. Right in the middle of our scripture lesson, Paul reminds Timothy and all of us that Christ Jesus saved us and called us to a holy calling. He called us to a holy calling. Yes, he saved us. Because we could never save ourselves. There's no way we could have ever saved ourselves. And Jesus did this by becoming man, by keeping the law in our place, by dying on the cross for our sins. And our salvation is all part of God's purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, as it says in verse 9. So yes, even before the foundation of the world, God wanted us to be his. Even when we were conceived in sin, when we were born to die and alienated from God, he had it all planned in Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. See, Christ Jesus conquered death by his own death, and he published victory through his resurrection, which compelled the very first witnesses all the way up until now to fan into flame this word of the gospel, even to the very end of the days. And that's a daunting task, isn't it? It's absolutely a daunting task. But above young Timothy stood not only St. Paul to support and encourage him, but Jesus Christ, God, his Father, God himself. Paul, who was a preacher of the cross, apostle of God, and teacher of the faith, was actually suffering in prison. Tradition says that he actually lost his head to Nero's sword. But in the midst of all of this suffering, Paul says something amazing. He says, I'm convinced that God is able to guard until that last day, what has been entrusted to me. I don't know if you caught the teamwork here, though. I mean, Paul was entrusted with the deposit of the Christian faith, with severe penalties for being unfaithful. So Paul, in turn, what does he do? He entrusts this same faith to Timothy, so that he can do the same thing that Paul was doing. But of course, at work behind all of this was God himself, who sent his Son, who gave us Christian teaching, and who will guard it until the end of time, even if sometimes it seems like the true church has all but vanished Now here's some of the details on exactly what Timothy's supposed to do with the flock. He says, follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Follow the pattern of the sound words. In other words, raising up young Timothy as his vicar, as his assistant, if you will, Paul obviously instructed him at great length in the doctrine of the apostles, using the Old Testament as his required textbook and the New Testament as verbal sermons on the old. And the gospel, while it's more than just words, well, it takes words, doesn't it? Even though the gospel is more than just words, it is words. The good news of Christ and all that he's done and taught is left us in sacred words. Words which we ourselves hear and believe and are preached here in this church. At least I pray that I've preached them faithfully. In so doing, we stand in continuity with St. Paul, with his charge to guard the good deposit entrusted to you. In other words, the faithful, Lois and Eunice, Paul and Timothy, and you and I, we guard the entire deposit of Christian doctrine. In other words, we guard the faith with all of us going together, moving forward, hearing and doing the gospel. This deposit, this mustard seed of faith, is entrusted to us. It's given, and it's not, you're not supposed to hide it in a mattress, this deposit. You're not supposed to stick it in a bank somewhere and hopefully get a little bit of interest. It's given to us in order so that we can spread it to the whole world. Today's Lutheran Women's Missionary League Sunday. And on this day, we recognize the work and the mission of the LWML. Through their widow's mites, they extend the mission of the church throughout the world. They bring the mission of God, the mission of the gospel, throughout the whole world. I think I've told this story before, but my first call was in the Mid-South District. And one of the things, there were some refugees from, I think it was Sudan, that came into the Nashville area, and they were looking for the Lutheran women. They were looking for the Lutheran women. Yeah, it's like, why are you looking for the Lutheran women? And they said, it's because we had quilts that were made by Lutheran women. And it said there, Lutheran Women's Missionary League, right on the quilts. Caring for the lost, caring for the refugees. I received one of my first textbooks at seminary from the Lutheran Women's Missionary League. As soon as I registered, they handed me a textbook. This is from the LWML. Amazing. The work that these widows' mites, I say that in quotations, does throughout the world. It's that deposit of faith has been entrusted to each and every one of us. I think my mother still has her mustard seed necklace that she got years and years ago with the LWML. It means a whole lot to her. See, this deposit of faith was given to spread far and wide to friends, to family, and even to chance acquaintances that might need a prayer or a listening ear. So yes, guard the good deposit entrusted to you and spread that faith, that good deposit throughout the world. In his name, amen and amen. And now,